Well, you know, this is the first Sunday of the new year. A lot of people wonder, well, what's God saying about the new year? But God's already said something. Now, see, I said something. That's the way we say it down in Texas. God's already said something in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, the real question is, what are you saying about the new year? That's the real question. Because largely what will happen for you in the new year is what comes out of your mouth. Actually, that's how you activate your faith to take hold of the things of God. And so I want to talk about faith takes back what the devil has stolen. Now, you think about that word take. And you realize that things in the spiritual realm have to be taken, just like they are in the natural realm. You know, actually, you take salvation. And somebody said, what are you talking about? Well, it's a free gift from God, but you have to respond by reaching out and taking what God is offering. Right? Now, you know, as I'm here this morning, and this young lady right here, I forgot what her name is. I know who she's grew up. What's her name?
Claire.
She grew up in this church. Now, I'm offering Claire a dollar bill. Okay? The offer's there. But unless she does something, it's going to stay there. She has to reach up and take it. It's yours. You see, we can get a hold of that example. It's real easy to see. But that is the same thing. God is offering us all of his promises. But we've got to reach up and take them. You know, how many people, in the sports world, in the business world, anything you want to talk about, how many of them attain success by just sitting back and waiting for it to overtake them? They don't. They get success by taking it. They're successful by going out and taking hold of the situation and making it work for them. You know, that the same parallel, it's natural life and spiritual life parallel together. The same things that you have to do in the natural to be successful is the same things you have to do in the spiritual to be successful. It just doesn't, as my dad used to say, drop on you like ripe cherries off a tree. Anybody ever heard him say that? It just doesn't. The opportunities are there. God is offering them. But you're going to have to reach up and take it. See, there are probably, somebody said, I don't know, I didn't count them and I ain't about to. But somebody has done it. They have more time on their hands than I do. They said there's 32,000 promises in the Word of God that God offered us. And Jesus purchased them for us when he shed his blood on Calvary. We just talked about that. All right. Now, look at 2 Peter 1:3. As his divine power has, look at that word, H-A-S, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Notice that word, has, H-A-S. Now, how many of you went to high school? How many of you took English? Let me see your hand. All right. Actually, you start learning this all the way down in the grade school. But now, that word has there tells us something. What does it tell us? It's past tense. That means if it has been done, then it's already accomplished. It has been done. So, he said, as his divine power has given to us all things. So that means it's already done. That pertain to life and godliness. Now I want you to notice that's a little G. That means that we live in a godly kind of way. Now, through the knowledge of him. Now, suppose, or as we used to say when I was a kid growing up, let's play like. Anybody ever heard that word? Or pretend. That I am somewhere, let's say I'm in Los Angeles, California, and I'm sitting in the airport, and somebody comes up and tells me, and they said, hey, the richest man in the world has just put $1 million in your bank account in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You can get home. But you come back the next day, and I'm still sitting in the waiting room at the airport, whining and complaining and saying, I sure would like to go home. I don't have no ticket. I sure would like, man, it'd be nice to go home. You would think I was crazy. Because I've just been told that I've got $1 million in the bank, and yet I'm sitting there not saying I wish I had a ticket when all I got to do is go to the ticket counter and buy it. I got the money. Come on. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. God has deposited this for us. Say it with me. God has deposited all of his promises. Everything that I need for life has already been given to me. Hallelujah. But what do we have to do to get the promises? What would I have to do to get a ticket? I got to take advantage of it. We have to take the Word of God and make it a reality in our lives. We have to take the promises of God and make them a reality in our life, because God has already given us everything that pertains to life. Hello. He poured out all of those blessings on us when Jesus Christ, suspended between heaven and earth on that cross, looked up to his Father and said, it is finished. And his head dropped to his chin, dropped to his chest. He expelled the last bit of oxygen out of his lungs. And that was it. It was finished. The supreme price for all the promises of God to come into our lives was paid for then and there. We have to take it. You know, too many people, they're just looking around, singing about the sweet by and by, we'll be better off. some sweet day, it's all going to be over. No, it's not pie in the sky. It's not talking about when we all get to heaven. And yeah, it's going to be great when we all get to heaven. But I'm not in heaven yet. Heaven's going to be great. Heaven's going to be good. But right now, I need something for now. I don't need something for the future. I need it now. What do I have to do to get it now? I have to reach out by the hand of faith and take a hold of the promises of God that will give me a life worth living, because he said he wanted us to have life and have it more abundantly. You know, now, as we go through life, there are a lot of things that can shake us, cause us to have problems. You know, take Peter walking on the water. How many of you know that story about Peter walking on the water? Oh, I'm sure glad that at least I saw at least 400 hands out of this whole crowd, and everybody else was sitting there. How many of you know the story about Peter walking on the water? Because if you don't, I'm going to have to tell it to you. Oh, that's a whole lot better. Now, what happened to him? He began to sink when he began to look around instead of keeping his focus on Jesus. The first thing he felt was the wind blowing against him. The second thing, he saw the waves. And somebody said, well, yeah, that was Jesus. So, hey, he took his eyes off of Jesus. We take our eyes off of the promises of God and begin to look at this thing that's happening in our life and this thing that's coming against us and this and that and so forth. And then we begin to do the same thing that Peter did. We begin to sink. We have to keep taking and keep a hold of, hello, the promises of God. It was when Peter reached back up, Jesus grabbed him by the hand, and they walked back to the boat together. You've got to keep a hold of the promises of God. You know, something, well, I don't see how it's going to be accomplished. Hey, that's not your problem. That's God. All we need to do is to know that we, by faith, take a hold and hold on to the promises of God. You see, when it comes to finances, and this is where a lot of people are, and people are always talking about finances, but, you know, when it comes to finances, yeah, we all believe in God, but don't be so concerned about how it's going to happen. Just claim the promises. All of your needs will be met according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. We all know it. Okay? We all know that. But we have to keep that in our grip, or it'll slip away from us. Oh, I think it was the summer of 1980, I think, and we were getting ready to go travel from Oklahoma to California with the semi and all kinds of stuff, and they were talking about a fuel shortage, and somebody said, you're not going to take that bus and all that, and out there in the middle of the desert, you might not even be able to buy no fuel. And you see, this is where you either grab a hold of the promises of God, or you start saying, well, you know, man, let's see. Now, reason would tell me, you know. I said, no, if God can take care of the children of Israel, he surely can take care of us when we're going out to preach the gospel. He is still El Shaddai. the God is born of. And let me tell you this morning, on the first Sunday of 2016, God is still El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. If you will take a hold of the promises of God and hang on to them, no matter what, he'll see you through. The word of God says what is mine, and I'm not going to let the devil steal what belongs to me. You better not either. Hey, if you leave here this morning, you drive home. When you get to your house, there's a moving van backed up to your house, and they're unloading all of your stuff into that moving van. And you go up there and say, hey, what is going on? And a guy comes up and he says, listen, he says, this belongs to me. Here's a deed right here. See it right here. It says, this is my house. I sold all your junk and I'm taking it out of here. I'm going to take it to the people I sold it to, and I'm going to move all my stuff in. This house is no longer yours. And I'm sure that this is what you would do. You'd go back to the car. Well, kids, wife, I thought we paid this house off last year. I thought it was ours, but I guess it's not. Let's go down to Aunt Mary's and see if they let us stay there till we can figure out what's going to do. No, not a one of you would do that. Right? You would go and get a hold of the proper authorities, and man, it would be, as we used to say down there where I come from, it'd be Katie barred a door, man, I tell you what. I mean, know what that means. I don't even know what it means. I just know that means ain't nothing going to stop you. That's what it's talking about. But the devil can come in and say, well, now, let me tell you, it's been pretty good. God's been good to you, but you can forget about this. He's not going to meet your need this time. And we say, well, that's right. God's really been good to me. I guess this is a time when it's not going to happen. Hey, that would be the same thing of you walking away from your house. The devil just come to you telling you it's not going to happen. This is when you got to say, hey, wait just a minute, Mr. Devil. You done messed up this time. Let me tell you something. It is written. And then tell him what it says. It is written right here. Here, you want to read it? See, you got to go back at him. You got to be forceful. You've got to use force against the enemy. In fact, in one place in the Word of God, it said, the violent take it by force. Now, that's in the spirit realm. You got to get upset and take it from the devil. See, now he'll tell you, oh yeah, you got saved. You just better be glad that God saved you, you know. But he's going to take everything else away from you. You got to go out and take it. It depends upon how bad you want it. There's not a guy here that's sitting in a locker room with a coach that he hadn't got in your face and said, how bad do you want this? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever heard that? Yeah. Let me ask you a question. How bad do you want healing? How bad do you want finances? How bad do you want protection? How bad do you want the promises of God? See, it's not up to God anymore. It's up to you. How bad do you want it? Are you willing to do what's necessary to get it? In 1957, I ran in the state track meet in Oregon, going to Canterville Bible Academy. We got there to the state. seven boys. Six of us, I guess. One guy on shot put and discus. One of the four on the 880 relay team, he ran the hurdles. And there we are. Not a one of us ever been to that big of a meet. And we were small school. And Paul Mam had us all sitting there on the infield. He said, "Boys," that was in the day when we run in preliminaries. He said, "What you're doing now get you to tonight to the finals." We've practiced. You've run. Now, it depends on how bad you want it. How you go out and perform on that track depends on whether you're willing to reach back inside of you and give it everything you got. We made the finals. May the 7th, 17th, 1957. 9 o'clock at night. Four guys that didn't even, from a school that didn't even have a track team. We put it together ourselves. The boys did, me and a couple other guys. And we got the history teacher to be our coach. Everybody else had pretty uniforms. We all went out and bought running shorts that all matched. Got the basketball coach to let us have the bat. Back then we had those singlets, and he let us use those. I took my broom and sawed off we had a baton made out of a broom handle, and we didn't have a real baton. We all went and bought our own track shoes, and there we were, running in a state meet. But see, we wanted it. And I never will forget that night. I went across the field and got on where my starting position would be on the track. Dick Ellenwood is over here, and that gun sounds, and I see him take off. Normally, I'm sitting there and I'm looking forward and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting and waiting, and Dick normally would say, "Go." I turned around and looked, and I could see him coming. I could see he had his mouth closed and his teeth gritted and his lips just bared back, and I could see the strain in his face. And finally he said, he just nodded, and I took off, and then I had to slow down in order, and he got me that baton. And here I go. I come around that corner, headed down that, throw Lanky Martin down there. I see him standing there, and about 20 yards from him, I realized what Dick felt, because all of a sudden my knees and my legs felt like rubber, and I was trying to suck some air, and I couldn't even suck any air. I said, "This is where it goes." I gritted my teeth. I don't even know whether I breathed that last 20 yards or not. I just gutted it out. I slapped that baton into Mikey's hand in first place and fell over into the deal. And I'm seeing white spots in front of my eyes. I was about to pass out. But that third runner, he already had two medals in the high hurdles and the low hurdles. And when he hit that spot, one guy went by him, two guys go by him, three guys go by him, four guys go by him, five guys go by him, six guys go by him, seven guys go by him, eight guys go by him, nine guys go by him, or eight guys, seven guys go by him. He's in last place. He hands that baton off to that blonde-headed, blue-eyed Swede, B. been, and he's in last place. And he come around that corner, and he was giving it on, and I saw him. He giving everything he got. And they said that you could throw a double, not a, a regular double bed blanket over all eight places as they come across. We missed, we got seventh place, we missed sixth place, or actually, we were in seventh place, we missed, we, no, we were sixth place, and we missed fifth by 1/100th of a second. First, second, and third got metal, got deals around your neck. Fourth and fifth got a pin on deal, and sixth got a great big rosette ribbons, you know, big one, about like that, about that big around, and long ribbons, you know. Seventh didn't get nothing. But you see, three of us wanted it bad. But one of them, he didn't. Cost us. Cost us. You see, that's the way it is with you. How bad do you want the promises of God in your life? It's up to you. Because the devil is going to come at you and say, oh, hey, you know, man, you already done pretty good. You might as well just slide now. Just run easy. Hey, let me tell you something. You have got to demand your rights. And you've got to grit it out. You've got to take it. Smith Wigglesworth tells a story about a lady going to the bus stop. In his book, he calls it a tram stop. That's what they call them there. And the little old dog's following her down the street, went off the porch. Some of you have read that story in his book. How many of you have ever read this story? Some of you have. Anyway, she's following down the street. And she says, now, honey, you got to go back home. You can't go today. Dog pay no attention to her. She got down there. She's standing at the bus stop. And that little dog's running around there and said, you can't go. You got to go back home. By that time, the bus come, and she said, get back on that porch. And that dog tucked his tail and took off running. Let me tell you what. That's what you're going to have to do to the devil when he comes. He's going to have to know that you mean business. How many of you have a pet dog at home? How many of you realize that if you just say, oh, you, no, quit doing that. No, no. They don't pay no attention to you. You have to get authority in your voice and say, no. When I do that, that big old 100-pound Great Pyrenees out there, I can tell him no, and man, he shuts down, you know. I can say, sit, and he sits. Why? Because I got authority in my voice. If I just tell him, sit, like you sit, yeah, I ain't paying no attention to that. There's no authority there. That's what you've got to do, realize when the devil comes in, you got to have some authority in your voice. You can't just mealy mouth around and say, Mr. Devil, leave me alone now. Leave me alone. No, no, no. Go on. Get out of here, devil. You have no right. Not in here. Come on. See, you got to, when the devil brings these contradictory circumstances and contradictory thoughts, you've got to refuse them. You know, you can't keep birds from flying over your head, but you sure can keep them from building a nest in your hair. See, you have to take it. The minute symptoms come, don't wait for it to get a hold of you. The minute you start having a little bit of sniffle, you start say, hey, Mr. Devil, take your moving van with all your junk and get out of here. I'm not accepting any of this. You have to take it. Hold fast to what the Word of God says. Remember, you have 32,000 promises, they said. then grab a hold of them with a grip that nobody can take away from you. Hang on, hold on. Keep saying, I take it by faith. It belongs to me. The Word of God says so. Mr. Devil, you or none of your cohorts can take it away from me. It's mine. You know, you watch kids playing. You probably done it when you was little. We all have done it. Somebody grabs your toy and you grab it back and say, mine. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Mine. That's mine. That's what the devil's trying to take our toys away from us, so to speak. These promises right here, he's trying to take them away from us. We got to grab back. That's mine. You can't have it, and you're not going to cause me not to have it. See, God is reaching down over the banister of heaven right now with his hand extended with all of his promises. They're there. What are you going to do about it? You're going to say, oh, hallelujah, isn't it great? Oh, glory to God. Look at all these promises. You know, it's great to sit down to a ribeye steak that's about 1.5 inches thick, cooked medium rare, leaned a little bit to the rare side. That's the only way to eat them. Where I come from in cattle country down in Texas, them cattlemen out there, they won't, if you go to their house, they won't cook it past medium. They say it's no, they cook all the flavor out. But I could sit down there. I'm hungry. Now, there's two things that we have down in Texas. I don't know where y'all got them, where y'all coming. But there's being hungry, and then there's hungry. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Hungry, well, you just, but boy, if you're hungry, that means you starving, man. And I can sit down and I'll be, I'm hungry, man. I'm hungry. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And I could sit there and I could talk about, hey, man, boy, that's a beautiful steak. Ooh, look at that steak. Oh, man, look at those juices running out of it. Ooh, that is that. Ooh, that's going to, that would taste so good, man. That would taste so good. Ooh, man, oh, man. But I'm never going to satisfy my hunger until I pick up a knife and fork and begin to cut into that thing and begin to take advantage of it. You can talk about the promises of God. You can quote the promises of God. But until you by faith appropriate them for your life, all they are is scriptures that you're quoting. See, you can look at the promises and say, oh man, oh, I wish that was so. Man, wouldn't it be nice if that was really so? Or you can, by faith, reach up and say, I take hold of the promises of God for my life, and I'm not going to let it go. If it's finances, then you start quoting scripture on finances. If it's healing, you start quoting scripture on healing. If it's protection, you start quoting healing on protection. I mean, scriptures on protection. Whatever it is you want, you need to go to the table, God's table. He's got a table spread where the saints of God are fed. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. He has a table spread, hallelujah. What you need to do, it does, hey, pull up to the table. Shake out the napkin, put it down there. And reach over there and get you a big old helping of healing, put it on your plate. Reach over and get you a big old spoonful of protection and put it on your plate. Finances, put it on your plate. Once that's gone, reach over and get seconds. Once that's gone, reach over and get thirds. If it looks like the bowl is starting to get empty, God says, hey, don't worry about it. There's more where that come from. That's what my grandma used to say. You know, I reach over and get some more mashed potatoes, and it looked like the bowl's about empty. She said, go ahead, take them off. Go ahead, take a big spoonful, because there's more where that come from. God's telling you that there is no way that you can ever use up all of the promises that belong to you, because if you empty the bowl, he pours more in, and he'll keep pouring it in. He'll keep pouring it in as long as you keep eating. You know, faith rejoices in the promises whenever you take hold of it. A story I remember my dad telling many, many times. A man, he went down to the altar on Sunday night, prayed for his wife's salvation. The whole church been praying for her for a long time. She just wasn't a very good lady. And he prayed and thanked God for her salvation. And he got up and he shouted all over the church. And everybody just sitting there looking at him. What is he so excited about? Now, about a week or so later, she came to church. She came forward and got saved. Now, the church been praying for her for a long time. They went wild, man. Whoa, they were going wild. And he would just sit back there with his arms folded. And they went back and they said, what in the world is the matter with you? We've been praying for your wife. You've been praying for her. And now she's down there getting salvation. And you just sitting there. He said, what I want to shout over old news for. He said, remember when I had to shout and spell? He said, as far as I was concerned, that's when she got saved. When I took it by faith. Hey, whatever it is that you need, you need to take it by faith and start rejoicing right now. See, you rejoice by faith that it's done before you ever see it in the natural. Hallelujah. How many are ready to rejoice? Just rejoice right now. You don't have to rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is done. It is done. Take it by faith. Act like you would if you actually saw it. Act like you would if you actually saw those finances. Act like you would if you get how excited you'd get. How excited you'd get when you actually have it in your hand. Act like it. Act like it. Hallelujah. Act like it. Do what you do. If you already saw it, glory to God. Glory to God. You got something you want to say? Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory.
Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, again I say.
Song, shout with the voice of triumph. Yeah, we're gonna shout.
So I will shout with the voice. voice of triumph. I need the keys, brother. Thank you.
Keep shouting. Shout every day. Hallelujah. Bow your heads just a minute. There may be somebody in here that couldn't shout with us because they don't know Jesus. Or maybe you know what it is to serve Him, but you need to rededicate your life. Or you go to church, you don't know whether you've ever actually accepted Him or not. If that's you, I want to pray for you and with you. Would you just raise your hand right now? Anywhere in the room, upstairs, downstairs, wherever, raise your hand right now. Anybody. There's a hand over here. Thank you. Are there not anybody else want to raise their hand? A hand over here. Thank you. Thank you. Are there others? You say, hey, I couldn't shout that shout. I see a hand back there. Thank you. I couldn't shout with you, but I want to. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've seen about three or four hands. Hey, I'm going to go right down front. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want you to step out, come down here. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. I want to shake your hand. So come on down here right now. Come on.
Oh, it really does.
Come on. Come on. You raised your hand. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now.
Jesus is waiting.
Come on, right here, right now. Come on, from this side.
So come, just as you are.
Just wait just a minute, wait somebody.
Come as you are.
Come on, young lady.
Come as
you are. Come on, guys. Come on.
Really doesn't matter.
Hallelujah, right here. God bless you. God bless you. Hi. Come on. Come on. Here comes some more right now. Come on. Jesus. Come right on. Anybody else want to come? Come on the balcony. They'll help you down. God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Anybody else want to come? Come on now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hello. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else want to come? Come on now.
Just as you are.
Hallelujah. Man. One, two, three, four, five ladies. Y'all just made the best decision in your life. I got in my hand two little books, one called New Birth, one called In Him. If I reached them out like that and said, I'm going to give them to you, somebody show me what you got to do. You got to take them That's it. She meets first. Hey, y'all gonna all get them same books in just a minute. That's just a little exercise I do. See, I can give you a book, but I can't give you the spiritual thing that you came down here for. It comes from heaven on high. Just as all of you eventually reached your hand out, I want you to reach one hand toward heaven and you say, okay, God, I'm reaching up to get what I come for. Congregation, reach your hands out as I pray for them right now. Father, I thank you for each one of these that have come today. In the name of Jesus, I thank you that every spiritual need in their life will be met today. Salvation, rededication, no soul experience with you. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hand down and look at me for just a moment. I want you to go where you can get those books. Also, it's called a prayer room this morning, but every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, it becomes a classroom called Turning Point. You say, what in the world is Turning Point? Well, that's just a place that we go for a few classes to help you get your life turned on to God or back on to God, okay? And I'd like to see you in there next Sunday morning. Hey, would you turn right over there and see Greg and Christy? They're in charge of that prayer room. Would you just follow them to that special place of prayer right now? Just go right there to that special place of prayer right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Right there. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Glory to God.